Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's conversation again with John Edmonds, my dear friend, president of Veritas Baptist College. And John, your wife Penny is a vital part of our ministry as well. Dr. Penny Edmonds heads up our education department. Just say a word about Penny.
Yeah, Penny also has been in, for most of her adult life, involved in higher education. And now she has the opportunity to minister here at Veritas. And she teaches a lot of courses, particularly in the English area is what she particularly teaches in, both undergrad and then the graduate. She teaches our research and writing course, and that is her passion.
Dr. Penny Edmonds is that teacher that you love and hate. She's a stickler from the standpoint of she expects excellence, which, man, I just wish we could all get back to that in education. And then, so in the moment, you might say, oh, this is so hard. But it's the teacher you look back to the rest of your life and say, I'm so grateful that I sat under her ministry. And so we appreciate you, John, and appreciate Penny and all that you're doing for the Lord. We're in James. You're John. We're in the book of James. And we ended yesterday with just that thought of submitting yourself to God. I should say we ended last episode. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. And then draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. And we won't spend much more time on that, but what a great promise. He will draw nigh to you. I heard it said this way once, John. You are as close to God as you want to be.
Yes, that's for sure.
So if the promise is true, that if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us, then really the ball's in my court. I'm as close to God as I want to be.
Yes, and it's very convicting then when we realize we're not where we ought to be. We have to be more diligent in making sure that we spend time with our Heavenly Father who longs to be with His children.
And this world and walking in it inevitably rubs off on us. And so we're always having to come back to this process of humility, recognizing the lordship of God in my life, drawing nigh to Him, resisting the devil, fleeing temptation, all of those things. It's a daily struggle, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The devil does such a great job, and the world and the flesh do a great job of making us only focus on the immediate, when I'm often reminded in the scriptures of people that live for eternity, and they look not just the here and now, but I think of what Paul even says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how that we have hard times right now, but a much greater glory in the future when we're with our Savior. And so I think sometimes when I make myself have the right mindset, it makes it a lot easier to keep my focus where it ought be and to be focused on the things of Christ.
No, that's so good. That's so good. And then in classic James, of course, it's the Holy Spirit that's using James format. He gives us a principle, but then expands upon it so that we'll understand there's no wiggle room on how to apply this. Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. But then the explanation, how do we draw nigh to God? Well, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What a great balance. So is God concerned about the outside? Yes, sure He is. But He's not concerned about the outside to the exclusion of the inside. So cleanse your hands, you sinners. And back in Bible days, when one would approach God in worship, there was a ceremonial process of cleansing.
Yes, it reminds me of even in John 13, when Jesus, as you know, goes to wash the disciples' feet, and goes so well with this passage here, whenever Peter says, Lord, wash my whole body. And Christ told him, no, he only needed to wash his hands. And what a great picture here. We get our hands dirty. Actually, he washed his feet in John 13. Jesus says, I need to wash your feet, Peter. A great picture that Peter already himself had been washed in salvation, but he needed that sanctification, that daily process. And so in my life, you know, sometimes my hands get dirty by things I do in the world. And so I need to cleanse my hands and I need to purify my heart in that daily sanctification so I'm growing more like Christ day by day.
Right. And the Pharisees had made the actual ceremonial process an end in and of itself. And so the whole hand washing controversy in the ministry of Jesus Christ, they had made that kind of the end. Obviously, we wash our hands. You don't. Right. We're godly. You're not. That was never the purpose. The purpose was as a symbol to say, these hands belong to God.
Right.
This body belongs to God. My service, because the hands picture depict our service to God, my service belongs to God. So when the Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, it's a matter of understanding that our lives and the expression of it, our energy, our physical bodies, everything, it belongs to the Lord, which is why the second part of the statement really is so important. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because it's only as the heart is right that the hands are useful.
That is for sure. And I love what James says here about purify your heart, you double-minded. We have the picture of people who are trying to live in two worlds at the same time. They're trying to live for God on one hand and yet the world on the other. And as we all know, that just doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
We have to be either sold out to God and be walking with Him, or else we're going to not be following God, but following what the world wants us to do.
And think about it, listeners, because you know, you've been with me now for these last couple of weeks talking about James. We keep on coming back to this. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember, we talked about that in chapter one. Last chapter, can a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know, don't talk out of two sides of your mouth. And now in the same conversation, James is saying, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And the context is still, where do bad words come from? Where do these words of criticism and judgment to other people come from? They come from a heart that has not been purified.
Exactly.
So he's still dealing with that. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, you know, take care of the inside of that cup.
Right.
And then verse, where are we here? Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So there is an implication there, John. The implication is that these were people that were cavalier about their sin.
Yeah, they were. That's the whole picture we have here, where they were, you know, live and let live. Tomorrow we're going to die. Let's live it up today. And so they were just, you know, very, very flippant about the life they were living and not thinking at all that it was an affront to a holy God.
And this is not, these are not people devoid of a knowledge of God. These are my brethren.
Yes.
So is it possible for those that name the name of Christ that are a part of what we would call the brethren, is it possible for them to be oblivious to sin in their lives, to live a happy and carefree life ostensibly, and yet have some deep problems?
It is without doubt that's true. I think of Lot, the classic example, who lived, if it were not for what Peter says, I would doubt if I would see Lot in heaven. Because what Peter says, I know beyond doubt I'll see Lot in heaven someday. But his lifestyle, his life sure did not back up what he knew to be true.
And I find also in that imperative, be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning. I find in that, at least in my own mind, a hearkening back to David, where David said, God, you didn't, if you wanted sacrifices, I would have given them. But you didn't, you weren't looking for sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In other words, David said, Lord, I understand the nature of my sin against Bathsheba, against Uriah. The whole thing was a matter of the heart.
Yes.
It was the inside. And Lord, what you wanted is you wanted genuine, heartfelt, internal repentance.
Exactly right. And it reminds you, which you talked about the Pharisees a moment ago, about Jesus and ceremonial washing, where Jesus says, you may have it all wrong. You're focused on the outside, but it's what's on the heart. That's what defiles the man. And here these people need to change their heart and get back to where they are right, walking in the will of God and seeking to serve God daily with all their heart.
Which brings it full circle to verse 10, because it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. So again, just completing the circle. It started with God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So therefore, you better submit to God, resist the devil. He's going to flee from you. Deal with the heart issues. Cleanse your hands. All of that. But then really to encapsulate it again, it's all about humility. See, yes. Humility is not, and think about this, listeners, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less, to understand that it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about the Lord. And God has given us his grace and giftedness in various ways so that we can serve him. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Understand there's value, there's identity, but then there's also correspondent humility as we live in the sight of God, as we practice the presence of God in our life.
I remember years ago hearing Vance Havner on cassette tape. Go back a few years ago, the cassette tape.
What is a cassette tape?
Yeah, cassette tape back a few years now. But he quoted, he made the statement that when you walk with the Almighty, human potentates are small potatoes. And I think what a great thought. Often we're so concerned about what people think, and we're so, you know, just mesmerized by people that we forget every day we're walking with God, walking in the sight of God. And that ought to have a great first call to action on my part to be right with God, but it's also a great blessing that I have the opportunity to walk with the holy God who inhabits eternity. What a thought that is.
I don't know if it was Finney. I think it might have been Finney, but one of the famous preachers of yesteryear said that revival is simply a fresh awareness of God's presence in our lives. Yes. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then the great promise, he shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. So before honor is humility. Yes. You know, pride always is the escalator down, and humility is God's way of saying, I want to use you, but I can't use you until you see me for who I am, right, and then see you for who you are. And then, boy, you're in a great position for God to use your life in a demonstrable way.
Yes, what a great thought that is.
So I hope that you that are listening today will take that to heart, as I am going to endeavor to take that to heart myself, to realize it's not that we're nobodies. No, we're somebodies for whom Jesus died. But we've got to keep God in view and then see ourselves as valuable in his will, only in his will, and then humbling ourselves and letting him use us the way that he wants to use us. So God bless you, my friends. I hope you have a great day in the Lord, and we look forward to talking to you again next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.